What's happening? It's your boy 9/11. You tuned in to AVG Podcast. As always, man, you know how we do it. Let's get to it. Another shooting. Another mass shooting. Right now, this country is in a... And we can break it down. I know we got a lot of different wars going on as far as like racial wars, gender wars, religious wars. But what this country's bottom line problem is, and we're going to have to come to grips with it, is good versus evil. And it's just that simple. The evil in this country is picking up steam. And I don't know if it's because it's highlighted on the news and through the feeds of social media. Because I know if it's a lot of good acts going on and they're not going to get highlighted as much. It's not clickbait. It's not story worthy. But it doesn't feel like good is able to keep up with evil anymore. The nation is still healing from the grocery store incident where we lost lives. And that was a targeted attack. So we already know black and brown people already have their own PTSD from being targeted just on a daily. And now you couple that with the shooting in Uvalde of kids. Kids. And the reason why this story resonated so much with me, as it did with a lot of other Americans, is because I have two school-age kids. One of them is about to graduate. But my son, that I just left a ceremony at their school, who was 10 years old, and I had to wait for a little while to let my emotions kind of die down with this myself, because it's so gut-wrenching and heart-pulling to think about. I tried to just let my mind go there and think about something like that happening here at my son's school or something to that extent, and receiving that phone call or getting that alert, it's an active shooter. And my chest got tight. I could hardly process the thoughts because my chest actually got tight from thinking, what would I do in that scenario? How would I feel? Where would my emotions be? I could barely control the thought, doing it in my mind as a drill to think, okay, what would happen in that process? What would I do? What would be the next step if something like that went on? And let me tell you, people, the world is shrinking. So a lot of times we see stories from different cities, different states, and we think, oh, that can never happen here. Or that won't happen to me. Let me tell you, the world is shrinking. And it has, with the social media and posts and stuff that goes viral. And you have a lot of sick individuals that's waiting to be that next story. That's waiting to be that next headline. Because when they talk about the metaverse and stuff of that nature, right now, the lines between reality and internet and what we see getting acted out in movies or played out on screen or in videos, those lines are getting blurred. And you don't want to use the word desensitized in a moment like this, because you never want to get numb to something of this magnitude. But I feel like the country has collectively set back and allowed this to snowball into where we are today. And we can go way back to the way this country was founded, the bloodshed, the ravaging. But that's not what this is about right now. Because right now we have 19 families that, just like I just left a school ceremony, and I'm looking at the 10-year-olds going across the stage, just the innocence on their face, the laughter, them interacting with each other. And putting myself in the setting that went on at that school, and just trying to imagine all out hell being brought upon such a peaceful, innocent, unassuming place like a school. And it's disheartening. To think that we let issues such as this get politicized, red versus blue, and I can't vote on this for because I don't want to step on any toes on my party because they're voting this way and I need to be swept. No, it's time out for that. That bipartisanship, and look, we need to come together with one. I don't know the answers. That's not my job. I'm not a politician. But I do know that's what the elected officials are supposed to do. Now, do I feel like elected officials do anything for my segment of the population, per se? People that look like me? No, I don't. But this is so pulverizing. And the frequency that is happening, something has to be done. And I want to shout out Steve Kerr for what he did in bringing light to that situation with the school shooting, using his platform. And as you all know, if you don't, his dad was a victim of a terrorist attack. His dad was a professor that was assassinated during the shooting as well. So it comes from a different place when he speaks. He's been through this. He doesn't have to tell you. You know, he's sending his thoughts and prayers and condolences, like he said, because he's actually been through this. And he doesn't highlight it. He doesn't, you know, go around wearing it like a badge of honor, because I'm sure that is trauma. And you can see it on his face. You can hear it in his voice when he talked. That is trauma being relived. And as Americans, we are reliving the same trauma over and over and over again. And one of the main reasons is greed. It still boils down to greed and the power of the almighty dollar. Two of the most powerful entities in America are the NRA and the tobacco videos. The gun lobbyists, and the politicians, they're all in bed together. And if you don't believe that it's all about money, bottom line, how many studies have came out to be proven that cigarettes and tobacco are a direct line of cause of cancer? Numerous. For ages. Proven. Not a shadow of a doubt. Not a theory. Not a hypothesis. Proven facts that smoking cigarettes and the tobacco industry causes birth defects with pregnancy, causes cancer throughout the body. But it is still sold and readily available at every gas station, grocery store in America. Now look at this. I'm going to show you some shit that'll trip you out. And it's simple nuances that go on that you really have to pay attention to. That is simple, but it's profound, and it should speak to your consciousness. Cigarettes and tobacco and things that are proven killers are readily available, and I've never seen a shortage in it. I've seen war movies overseas where they got soldier cigarettes in abundance. But yet, we have a problem with our infrastructure of getting baby formula to feed the babies that you just banned abortions for. So you can't even feed the babies that's already here that you're supposed to be up in arms about, ready to protect. But you ban abortions, you can't feed babies. Cigarettes in abundance. Rifles are being bought, semi-automatics are being bought like water pistols. But you would try to turn around and run these big, lavish campaigns that you're for the people, by the people, and doing what's in the best interest for the people. That gig is up. We really need to break down the structure of politics in America, because what we're doing is failing the American public. And it's sad to say that we're supposed to be one of the most developed nations in the world, but we can't protect our own. We have bloods on the streets across America in the most vulnerable places that you can patronize. And yet, we're still reluctant to do anything about it. I just had to get that off my heart today, because, like I said, I just left a ceremony or graduation for my son, 10 years old, and I'm just mind and emotions all over the place. I'm looking at everybody, looking at their body language, and we have to show IDs at a camera to get in, which I think that should be the format for all schools across America now. And Louisville just happened. But we have to reform the way we protect our kids. And we can't tell them to hide and teach them defense mechanism. They should be able to go to school and learn, and that be the least of their worries. Their school being turned into Call of Duty. That should be the least of their worries. Seeing those kids walk across the news, I'm going straight from seeing a line of kids walking across crying in fear, terrorized, while I'm getting dressed, to going to see the jubilation at my son's school as they walk across the stage and just seeing how we're worlds apart of in emotions, of how one sick, evil individual could turn your life upside down, could turn a city upside down, could turn a state upside down, a nation upside down. All in a matter of minutes. And we're still sitting on our hands guessing what we should do. We got to do something about these guns. We got to do something more to protect our kids, our elderly, the most vulnerable people in society. We got to do something to get those people protected. So politicians, get off your ass. Get a red, blue, Democrat, Republican, conservative. I don't care what it is. We have to foster a change in this country. We know we built on blood, but we got to change the direction of this ship, or we heading for that glacier and we sinking. It's inevitable. Like I said, it's above my pay grade, man. My hearts and prayers go out to the families, everybody involved, that town, everybody involved. It's nothing nobody can say or do. No amount of hashtags will ever make their life normal again. And that shit breaks my heart. Knowing the love I have for my kids, and I know what type of love parents have for their kids. We all love our kids more than we love ourselves. And this is what this family is left with. Hashtags and prayers. And don't get me wrong, prayers are they move mountains. But we need some bodies to move legislation right now. We need some actions along with those prayers. We need some shit to shake around America. Like, let's just call it what it is. Call a spade a spade. Good versus evil. Let's not let evil continue to win. As always, man, thank you for taking the time to tune in to the podcast. If you got any thoughts on this, or you know anybody that can move the ball forward and what we need to do and what we need to focus on with gun reform, please hit me up, let me know, send me a message, or get in that person's ear, just let them know, hey, we need to do something. I'm at a loss. But always visualize your goals, man. And after that, accomplish those visualized goals. 9/11, gone.